All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start a new series today that's going to take us a few weeks to go to, but I'm hoping that it will be of benefit to you and I and help us in our walk and in our service for the Lord. I started to realize, maybe it's because of the times in which we live in, and also I've been reflecting on commitment levels and maybe even commitment levels that people have in churches. I've been realizing that a lot of believers don't really know or don't even understand, don't grasp that God has something for them to do. If I were to go around and ask each of you a question, and I would say to you, what does God want you to do in your life? What does he want you to do? Now, some of you might respond and say, well, you know, of course, take care of my family and take care of my spouse. We might give some answers like that. But if I were to say, okay, but what specifically does he want you to do for him? For him. I think most of us would be at a loss to answer that question. And I think part of it is because for some of us, we're not convinced that God can use us. We immediately make excuses. We think in terms of, well, you know, yeah, maybe at one time I thought about serving him, but there's no way now because of. And boom, we list the issue. We list whatever it was that happened or the many things that happened. And we think in our minds that there is just no way. I mean, I believe him. I trust him. I'm here, George. But the thought that God might want to use me doesn't even enter into our minds. In fact, for some of us, we think in terms of our minds that being used for the Lord, serving him, is only with reference to a few things in life, such as being a preacher, being a missionary, being a Sunday school teacher, serving in the church somehow. And you're like, well, you know, I really can't do any of those, especially that preaching part or being a missionary. I can't do that, So therefore, I don't really know what he might want to use me for. So we live in ignorance of what God might want to use us for. And so because of that, it never enters into our mind. So what I find is that while we have people who know that they belong to Jesus and they're saved, they're unfulfilled. They're not fulfilled. You say, no, I don't know if I agree with that, George, because, you know, I find fulfillment in my family. No, I understand. And that's a good thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. Even if you find fulfillment there, that's not going to truly satisfy you. Because that's not what you were created for. It's a good thing, but that's not what you were created for. You were created for him to do something. Well, I don't know what that is. So therefore, I'm just kind of floundering and yeah, I'm unfulfilled. Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts about being unfulfilled first before I take you to the scripture in Ephesians to kind of start the foundation of what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. And hopefully, the Spirit will speak to you and help you to find your fulfillment in what he has for you. Okay? So I want you to notice a couple of thoughts here. Here's the first one. You do not recognize your full potential as a believer. You don't recognize the potential that you have as a believer. Most of us don't. I'll be honest with you, there's reasons for that. Some of it has to do with church culture. if you are in a very legalistic church where you are told, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, you don't think that there's any way possible for you to understand what your potential is, because you're constantly being told how bad you are, how you missed the mark, how you're not keeping track of something, and so forth. Because I'll be honest with you, when you think about all the rules that we might have about spirituality and Christianity, nobody can keep them all. So we all end up being failures. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is you weren't really told anything. You were told, hey, you're saved, you're trusting in the Lord, just wait, the rapture's coming, and you'll go to be with him. And you don't really realize that maybe there's a reason why he saved you. Maybe there's something he wants to accomplish through your life. But again, we cloud that with, oh, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to be a pastor. That's get rid of all of that thinking. God doesn't just focus on those specific issues as far as what needs to be done. He wants to use you where you live, with the people that you interact with every day. And you have a potential to serve him, but most of us aren't even aware of that. Most of us don't even know. You don't recognize your full potential as a believer. Here's the second thing. You assess your potential through the lens of your failures, background, and opinions of others. If you thought possibly that maybe you had the potential of serving him, it's usually because of these three things that you don't even go there. Because, first of all, you always see things through your failures. Well, I messed up. There's no way I could ever serve him again, ever. People think that way. Or you think, well, you know, I'm not educated, George. I didn't get the training like you have. And my background is this, and I grew up on this side of the railroad tracks, and it wasn't a good side. And this is my reality, and I don't talk right. My grammar isn't proper. We think in terms of all these crazy things, and we say there's no way that God could use us. But then the biggest one is what others think about us. And by the way, they're ready to tell you what they think about you, right? Have you noticed that? Folks don't hold back. You know, you hear a lot today about people trolling people on social media. I'll be honest with you. They were trolling people before social media. You know that. But here's what happens is when you're constantly being bombarded with those things, you think, well, I could never do anything for the Lord. This is where we're at. But what I want to come along and I want to tell you is, with this series, I've entitled it, Created for Good Works. Created for Good Works. You were created for good works. You are part of God's plan. Well, you know, God's plan, that just seems too big to me, like the whole Iran-Israel thing going on. How am I going to take part? I think you're like thinking too big. God does, he does deal in the big things, and those are big things, right? But God also deals in the minute details, like what's happening in Clearfield County, what's happening on your street, what's happening in your family or your clan. God thinks about those things as well, and he has positioned you. Can I use that word? He has positioned you in his plan to be a service to him. And you have the potential, whether you recognize it or not. And that's what I want to talk about today. So what I want to focus on is I want to start with this series. I want to start with just the basic facts and help you to understand something. So I want you to notice with me, we're just going to look at three verses. chapter 2. It's a well-known passage. The first two verses, you should know them. You've heard them before, but then we're also going to do verse 10. Look with me at verse 8. Here's what he writes. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, what I'm going to do with these three verses is I'm going to try to convince you. Are you ready for this? Don't laugh at me. I'm going to try to convince you that you are a work of art. Do you understand? You're Michelangelo's David. You're the Mona Lisa. What do you mean? I want you to understand and think beyond just how you see yourself, to think beyond to how God sees you and what his purpose is for you. Now, we're not going to identify specifically what that purpose is. He's the only one who can tell you that, and he will, as he reveals it to you. But you're a work of art. In fact, that's what he says here. We are his workmanship. What do you mean workmanship? Well, think about that. You ever did a work project? And when you got done with it, you admired what you did? You're like, wow. Some of you, you're really skilled at something, and you're like, man, look at the great job I did. You take pride in your work. We are God's workmanship. We are his, that word can be translated, masterpieces. You're a masterpiece. Have you thought about that? You are a masterpiece with the Lord. Tendency is, though, we kind of focus in what we think are our flaws, but I want you to see your potential today. So the first thing I want to focus on as we look at these verses is the divine reality. If we're going to understand our potential and what God is doing with us and the reality that we're a work of art, we've got to embrace the divine reality. So there's three things I want you to see here. First of all, I want you to notice with me what it says in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Here's what I want you to see. The grace of God embraced you as you are and saved you through your faith. Sometimes I think we forget that. We have a tendency, can I be honest with you, to think about our failures or our potential and things, and we define ourselves by what we see in the mirror, which, by the way, in the morning, I really have disciplined myself not to judge myself by what I see in the mirror in the morning, okay? Takes a shower and some trimming of the beard and just, there's no more hair to comb. But I mean, it's the reality that I don't go by that. And neither should you. You need to embrace the fact that God embraced you as you are. Warts and all. Did you hear what I'm saying? He embraced you with your personality. He embraced you with your idiosyncrasies. He embraced you for who you are. And it's through your being embraced by him, by that grace embracing you, that he saved you because of your faith in him. Not because of you. It's not about you. I would say this, if you want to put it down, in spite of you. Do you realize that? That's the divine reality here. It's in spite of you. He embraced you as you are. Because he had some plans for you. From the beginning. You say, well, you know, it's kind of too late for that, George. I'm getting older, and I don't know what kind of plans he has for you. No, no, no. His plans aren't done with you yet. Do you guys realize that? Do you know when the plans are over for you? Do you know when that is? When God's done with you, you go to be with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your purpose is complete. As long as you're breathing. Well, you know, George, I can't do very much anymore. Yeah, but there are still some things you can do. I think it's interesting when Paul in his letters is writing, he's talking about widows, and he's talking about those who are not really able to do very much anymore, but he says, pray. You can be used of God to pray and talk to him about the things that you see and the things that bother you and so forth. Yeah, as long as we're here, we have a purpose. And he embraces you and saves you through your faith. Here's the second thing I want you to see here, also from verse 8. Salvation is a gift from God that is not dependent on your efforts. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Your salvation is not dependent on your efforts. Because if it was, we'd all be doomed. Because there's no way you could keep it. There's no way you could do it. I mean, Peter made that very evident when the very first council, the Jerusalem council, where they're trying to figure out if Gentiles should keep the law. He speaks up and says, why are we wanting to impose on them that which we ourselves cannot keep? That if the Jews couldn't keep the law perfectly, how could anybody keep it perfectly? It's not based on you. It's a gift. You've got to remind yourself that. Now, why are you bringing up these basic facts? Well, because sometimes, can I be honest with you? You got to go with the basic facts. Because here's the thing. Think about why you think you don't have any potential. Think about why you think there's no use, God can't use you. It's because, are you listening to me? It's because you feel that you failed in some way. You made a wrong decision. You went down the wrong path and you did this. And I'm trying to tell you, it's not based on your efforts. Here's the third reality that we see before we get into the reality of who you really are. Notice with me verse 9. I think this is very interesting the way he sets it up. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. Here's my third point. It eliminates any chance of claiming credit for achieving salvation. I once heard of a well-known speaker, he's still alive, talk about when he goes to see Jesus. I mean, this is a guy who has a super huge ministry, big, impacting, still impacting. And he talked about when he goes to see Jesus, and he said the folder, he said it's just going to be a folder with maybe a few pages in it that are brought out with, quote, his achievements to the Lord. It's interesting what God views as achievements versus what men achieve are two different things. And he said that all he can say to him, Lord, is, what I did is nothing. It's because of you that I'm here. All of us, it isn't what we did.